Much of the biblical story and the biblical history of the life of Jacob is a very sad and a very tragic one. He was an individual who experienced tremendous lows in the pathway of life. And much of his life was spent trying to repair the damage that he had done himself within the family. Indeed, the name of Jacob in the Hebrew, it's a Hebrew name. Jacob means twister. And folks, that's exactly the kind of an individual that Jacob was. He was a twisted individual. Early on in life, he and his brother did not see eye to eye. There was division in the home because of Jacob's doings. Jacob, of course, had an envy towards his brother Esau, and he coveted what was rightfully Esau's because the inheritance belonged to him, being the firstborn son. But Jacob schemed and tried to get his hands upon it. And the record of Jacob's life in God's word illustrates to you and I this solemn truth, that what we sow, we also reap. And that sow and reap principle is prominent in the life of this Old Testament patriarch. And just as the laws of harvest teach you and I, we will always reap more than we sow. And that is very evident in the life of Jacob. How greatly his trickery and his twisted nature had come back to haunt him now in this chapter, when he's an old man. As a young man, you recall how he had lied to his father Isaac. He had pretended to be his brother Esau, and he stole what did not belong to him. And as a result of those actions, tremendous division came into that home. Not only division, but absolute hatred as well. With the result that Jacob had to flee from home. You remember how he fled from home and went to Laban, his uncle, who lived in Syria. And there again, Jacob was tricked and deceived regarding his choice of bride in the person of Rachel. Also, Jacob had to lament that Laban had changed his wages 10 times. Jacob knew now what it was to be lied to. And what a sorry episode the whole matter regarding Joseph was now in Jacob's family. Just as his mother, Rebekah, had shown favoritism to him in the family, Jacob shows favoritism to Joseph. And folks, it only brought resentment into the family amongst the other boys that were there. As you read scripture, what a hard bunch of lads those boys were to rear. Folks, on many, many occasions, the sons of Jacob broke his heart. We think of Reuben, his firstborn son. Reuben had an immoral relationship with Jacob's wife. Jacob never forgave him for that, right to his dying day. You think of the next two boys that were born in the family, Levi and Simeon. There had been a family agreement that Jacob's daughter Dinah would be given to Shechem in marriage. But Levi and Simeon thought otherwise. Lifted up their sword and they slaughtered the family of Shechem. Now Jacob was a stranger living in Canaan. He was trying to get on with his neighbors in a land that did not belong to him. And then this. Jacob's name stank in the community, all because of the actions of Levi and Simeon. And then there's Judah. Judah fathered children to his own daughter-in-law. And folks, the whole family of Jacob brought him nothing but heartache. Scandal after scandal followed them. And you recall how these brothers take Joseph and they strip him of his garments and they sell him as a slave into Egypt. They take his coat and they rip it in pieces. They take the blood of an animal, they dip it in the blood, they come home to their dad and says, "Look, Dad, look what we've found. Surely Joseph is torn in pieces by a wild beast." Jacob was deceived for the umpteenth time in his life. And folks, what tremendous sorrow enveloped his life. For the next 22 years, Jacob lived under a lie. And never once in those 22 years did those lads think of revealing their dark secret. No, they made their father go through that misery each and every day. And as they looked at him in his sorrow, they were totally unmoved at what they were putting him through. None of them thought, "Well, it's about time we put an end to this. Enough's enough. We need to come clean in the matter and tell Dad and cease his sorrow." No, not one of them thought like that, folks. That sow and reap principle is prominent in the life of Jacob. You know, these lads, they just weren't young lads. Because at this point in the story, folks, they were grandfathers. They all had grandchildren in this passage of Scripture. And because of the famine, you recall how Jacob sends the lads down into Egypt to buy corn. And Joseph's there. Joseph recognizes them. 13 years of slavery and imprisonment he had spent in Egypt. Then he reinterpreted the dream of Pharaoh. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Those 7 years of plenty were now gone. 13 and 7 is 20. The Bible tells us now that they were 2 years into the famine. 22 years had passed. As those brothers bow down before him, Joseph remembers his dream. When he told them of their sheaves bowing down to his. He was 17, folks, when that incident had taken place. And now, here, that food that they had went down originally for has run out. Jacob sends them back again. Here, in this second time on their arrival in Egypt, in chapter 45 here, Joseph makes himself known to his brothers. What a lovely story we have here of the revelation that Joseph made to his brethren. And at the end of the chapter, provision is made for Jacob to relocate to Egypt. There in the verse 21 tells us, "And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way." Verse 25, they come home. Verse 26, they tell their father. They have to own up to their lies. Joseph is actually alive. And then verse 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived." Folks, I believe in this portion of God's word, we have a wonderful picture in the gospel regarding the king's wagons. Wagons that had been sent with provision from the provider who had the authority to send them for the sole purpose of bringing Joseph's family to himself. I'd like to leave some thoughts with you this morning in the gospel on the king's wagons. Let's look first of all at the proclamation of the wagons. Those wagons proclaimed a very important message because they spoke of one who was dead but was now alive again. They spoke of an individual who had the power and the authority to send all of this provision. They spoke of one who was a ruler. And folks, that news that Jacob heard that day was incredible news. It was good news and it was glad news that Joseph was alive. He wasn't dead after all. He was living and he was also reigning now in Egypt. Verse 13 tells us, "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." This message spoke of Joseph's glory. How he lived in the palace in Egypt. He had servants, he had wealth, he had authority, he had a status as a statesman. There was an aura about him. when people came into his presence, his very dress showed that he was a ruler, and those wagons that were sent showed his power and authority. They carried all of the provision of Egypt, supplies that were abundant. There was enough evidence in the land that Jacob lived in that it was a land of famine and dearth and death. And those wagons were sent to convince Jacob that Joseph was alive, and how he needed convincing of this matter. At first he didn't believe there in the verse 26. He had heard good news from afar, but Jacob was pessimistic. He was skeptical about it all. Maybe the very mention of Joseph's name was something that was best kept quiet. I'm sure over those 22 years, every time the name Joseph came up, it revived memories in the life of Jacob. It's better not talk about it. We'll just keep it swept under the carpet. But here he hears again, he hears now that he's alive. He was relieved, of course, to hear that Simeon had been released. Remember, Joseph had kept him as a tester after the first visit that they made. Simeon is now home again. He's relieved that Benjamin has made it home as well. Jacob was slow to believe, yet he easily believed the lie that Joseph was dead. Never once in Scripture do we read of Jacob questioning the so-called evidence of the death of his son. He believed it at first hand. Yet this good news that came from afar, Jacob is deeply pessimistic and skeptical. But they did convince him. They proclaimed a message of a son who was dead and is alive again. Folks, what a picture in the gospel we have here for you and for me. Didn't Jesus say in Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. The good news to you and I declares of a prince. Just like this good news declared. Joseph was a prince in Egypt. Good news in the gospel declares unto you and I of heaven's prince, the prince of glory, who has come with a wagon load of provision in salvation for you and for me. One who was dead and is alive forevermore. And yet how many there are who hear the message of the king's wagons in the gospel, and they are pessimistic, and they're skeptical, and they're slow to believe. Maybe you're like Jacob today. Gospel news has been sounding abroad that there's life in the risen Lord, and today finds you still lost in your sin. The king's wagons, folks, proclaim one who was dead and is alive again. The risen Lord Jesus Christ gave his life at the cross for us. Secondly, let's look at the purpose of the wagons. Why were they sent? Those wagons were sent for the sole purpose to bring Jacob to the sun, that Jacob might go to a land of plenty and live there in joy and in happiness. After all, the land that Jacob lived in, the land of Canaan, was destitute of food. It was a land of desert and of death. That's why Jacob sent 10 of his sons down into Egypt in the first place to buy corn. He had heard that there was corn in Egypt. And Joseph in Egypt knew of the conditions back at home that they were living in. Conditions of death and darkness. He sent the king's wagons to transport his people to be with himself, to bring them to the land of Goshen, land of plenty. And folks, there was room for them all. And there was room for their herds and their flocks and for their families. Those wagons were sent for the purpose that they might escape from a land of death. You can see the picture here, can't you, in the gospel? Joseph sent the king's wagons to save his people from death, to bring them to a land of plenty. And he provided the transport for them to take them from poverty to prosperity, that they might be saved from death and go to a better land. and it came at no cost at all to Jacob. Entirely funded by Joseph, it came at his expense. Isn't that a wonderful picture in the gospel to you and I today? The king's wagons have come, friend, to transport the sinner from poverty in this life to the prosperity of glory, that we might be brought to the Son, to heaven's greater Son, to that better land, the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem, a land that's spiritually flowing with milk and honey. Every day we live here in this scene of time, doesn't the earth receive her dead? How many graves will be dug in the week that is to come? The dead will occupy their final resting place. Jacob was told here he needed to make haste and be quick and come. Folks, that's why you and I need to make haste when we hear the word of God in the gospel, and strike when the iron is hot and come to the Savior, as the children's hymn reminds us, and make no delay. Joseph sent them to save his people. Wasn't Jesus Christ sent to save his people from their sins? That was the news that was announced at the Savior's birth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And here's Jacob, needed to heed this message. He needed to leave where he was and go. My friend, living in this scene of time and sin will leave you shut out of heaven, that better land. Jesus said in his word in John 14, I will come again and receive ye unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. And the Lord, just like Joseph, knows the conditions that sinners are living in today. And yet the Lord has come to give us life, eternal life, life more abundant. Didn't he come to bring many sons to glory, that his family, his people, might be with him in the glory land? The Apostle Paul's desire was to depart, to be with Christ, which was far better. He knew that one day the wagon of death would come for him and transport him to meet the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take him home to the better land, the land that is fairer than day, that we often singing about. I wonder, what about you today? There's we hymn we often sing, 604 in our hymn book. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, bask in God's own light. Friend, just as Joseph sent the wagons to save his people, so too the king's wagons in the gospel roll up to the heart's door of you today, that you might be brought to Jesus Christ. I wonder what about it this morning. Wonder, will you meet the Lord as your Savior, or will you meet him as your judge? Joseph had a concern for his people's condition. That's why he made this way open, that they might be rescued. What about the concern the Savior had? Coming from afar, coming to live upon this scene of time, that we might be rescued as well, born into the divine family. Lastly, let's look at the partaking from the wagons. Jacob here had to take the supplies that were given to him, and also he had to set his foot on the step and get up and get in and go to Egypt. The sole purpose of those wagons were to conduct Jacob to Joseph. Jacob had to get on board. He had to partake of why they were given to him. There was no use in staying put where he was. Folks, Jacob had to get up and to go. He needed to leave the death and the destruction and the destitution all around him and go to the one who was dead but is alive. And he had to believe and partake of it all. Notice his resolve there in verse 28. I will go and see him before I die. What a resolve and a response that Jacob gave. Friend, that's exactly the same when it comes to you and I in hearing the word of God. We need that same resolve today. Those gospel wagons from the King of Kings have rolled up to the door of your heart once again, another Sabbath morning. We need to get on board. Leave our sin behind. Leave death behind and all of its consequences. Turn your back upon them in the old life. Come to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that conducts sinners to the Son. When those wagons came, Joseph or Jacob was able to taste of all the provisions Joseph had sent to him. You know, when a sinner comes to Jesus, we're able to taste of the provision that comes on the King's wagons in salvation. There's the provision of eternal security and salvation. There's the provision of forgiveness of sins, the provision of acceptance with God, the provision of peace with God, but having the peace of God in the heart. There's a difference, folks. There's the provision of his righteousness, of adoption into the family, victory over sin, the indwelling of the Spirit. That's all in this life, but in the life to come, heaven, in that better land. Doesn't the gospel bring to you and I today the very best of news to a people who are spiritually in a land of famine and death? Those wagons were a witness to the former sufferings of Joseph. He suffered for 13 years as a slave, who was once dead but alive again. Exalted to the place of power. It all cost Joseph to send those wagons. Jacob simply had to leave the old life behind. My friend, salvation costs you and I nothing. It cost the Son. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today he has sent a wagon load of provision to you. But you need to get on board and come. Jacob had to take it freely. Doesn't the scriptures remind us in one of the last verses in the Bible, Revelation 22 and 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I wonder, will you partake from the King's wagons today? Jesus said, come unto me. My friend, that gospel wagon has rolled up to the door of your heart today, full of blessing, full of gospel promise and salvation. Jacob's resolve was, I will go and see him before I die. When will you die? When will I die? None of us know. But I wonder, will you arise and go and see him before you die? See him with the eye of faith in salvation today. For didn't Jesus say to look unto me and be ye saved all the ends of the earth? For I am God and there's none else. What a day it was when Jacob saw Joseph. You'll read of that in the next chapter. It all happened because he got up and went. Surely it'll be an even greater day when the believer sees the Lord. I wonder, will you see him as your Savior or as your judge? See him as your judge, friend. Scriptures tell us that the sinner will be shut out forever in eternal doom and a lost eternity. The King's wagons have come. I wonder, will you get on board today? Come and take freely of what a greater Son has provided in himself, that you and I might live, that we might go to be with him in that better land, that glory land.